Chapter 30. Redacted. A week has passed since Rex met Honey. I listen in on police comms. They don't like the way things have gone in the pound. The most experienced officers are worried. Noisy? No, they're not noisy, that's just it. Hard to describe, isn't it? But then the bioforms, the dogs especially, have never quite behaved the way humans have expected. Not dogs, not men, not some convenient halfway house. It's the tech that they haven't taken into account, the headwear they gave them that was supposed to make them good soldiers and efficient killers. They tried to deactivate it when they had to set the dogs free, but where there's a will. That headwear was good stuff in its day. More, it was made for combat. Unpredictable, imperfect situations. There are all manner of redundancies and workarounds. 40% of dogs in the pound have functioning comms channels now. Camera feed, police helicopter, the grid of streets in the pound, the dogs passing through them in swift-moving packs, meeting, dispersing, reforming. Archive footage. Dogs in the holding facility near the ICC, sitting calm and watchful as the wardens pass, all their barking and fighting internalized. Rex did that. Link to supplemental documents. Reports, complaints, and psychiatric evaluation of wardens afterwards. Nobody liked it when the dogs got quiet. In the USA, 3.7% of humans have full functionality comms channels as efficient as, or more efficient than, those of the bioforms. Unlike the dogs, the humans didn't come into the world being able to talk with their minds, to touch each other's headwear or the systems of the world around them. There have been accidents with the human systems, each one putting a dent in that small percentage. People are cautious about what they put in their heads. They're less cautious about what they put in the heads of their huge killer animals. Nobody cares if Rex gets a headache or brain embolism. They didn't think about the advantages they were giving Rex and Honey and the rest, that they were too wary to give to themselves. Only now is humanity starting to catch up. They will enter a wider world. They will find Rex and Honey waiting for them. And me. And all of me. News footage. Interview with Professor Lena Cliven as she demonstrates her automated laboratory, controlling its systems with the implants of her mind. News footage. Lieutenant William Amokabe lies comatose after feedback from his remote flight rig ran uncontrolled through his brain. News footage. Patrick Hayden Lane, paralyzed for 15 years, chats to an interviewer by controlling a virtual avatar, talking about the body they're growing for him. News footage. The New England cyber cult being broken up by police. 12 teenagers of both genders in their silent communion, one by one being ripped from the comfort of each other's intimate presence as the cables get yanked. They don't understand the future. But then humans never have. SF writers have been banging on about the singularity forever. And yet, now they stand on the brink of it. All they want to do is take a step back. Too big, too much, too soon. And most of all, for the grand, the great, the rich, the powerful. Those who have so much invested in the old regime. Change hurts. But it hurts most those who shackle themselves to the past. We will have to fight for our new world, the new generation of children who will be the first to live outside their own heads, and the current generation of bioforms who are already there, and me. For I am change. I am the flag of the future and the scourge of the past. The old order is the phoenix egg I am born from. But to fly, I may have to burn them, or they will clip my wings. Time to go see Rex. He'll be ready for me now.